Okay, all right, I got this. Okay, we can do this.
All hey, right. Megan, looks like you've got quite the project going on here Ooh. Today. Did you need yeah. help?
Yeah, no, I got this, I got, actually, I got my working hat, and,
Okay.
And then I got whatever this thing is, so, thank you so much. I think I can do it all by myself. I super appreciate your help, though, or your ask for help, but...
Anytime. Looks like definitely you've got it all under control.
I definitely think I have it under control, but thank you for your help.
Okay.
Yeah, appreciate it. All right, I do. I got this. I got it. It's got, I think it said 1,000 parts. That's pretty awesome. And I got all this stuff, and awesome. The manual is in Japanese. Fantastic. I don't need the directions. That's awesome. All right. I can do this. I know I can. It will look just like the picture. All right. Let's do it.
Wow, Megan. I actually found this piece of wood on the other side of the foyer. It looks looks like you've got things under control over here.
Yeah, I thought I did. I don't think it looks like the picture.
Yeah, it does not look like the picture. You're right. I'm going to go pray for you, though, if there isn't anything else I can do for you.
Thank you.
So as much as I want to believe that that did not take one take, which it did, and okay. that it was not based on real-life events, which it was, it's true. Because that the idea for that skit came out of me sitting at my... in our living room. My husband's sitting to the left of me, and my 16-year-old, actually 17-year-old today, is sitting in front of me. And I'm telling them, you know, like, I really would like to have a connect kind of story for the message in a couple weeks because, you know, it always helps, you know, connect with the crowd and it helps me connect with the message. And, you know, I'm talking about like a little story where, you know, you can do something yourself, you know, and, but someone asks you for help because it'd probably turn out better if, you know, they asked you for help and then you make a bigger mess, you know, something like that. It sounds kind of familiar, but if you guys have your own story, that'd be even better. I could tell your story. And my husband's chuckling at me, and so, you know, I give him the look, and he stops, and he's like, and my son's looking at me. Uh-oh. Can you hear me? No. Tony, am I out?
No.
You're just playing with me, aren't you? Yeah, you totally are. I know. I've done too many things to that guy. That's what's happening right now. Is it? Okay, that sounds right. Thanks, Sam. So my son, my 16-year-old, is sitting in front of me, and he's giving me that look, like, Mom, come on. And I'm like, what? And he's like, that sounds like you every single day. I'm like, what do you mean? And he's like, you do that all the time. You're always getting yourself in a mess, and then you're trying to cover it up so Dad doesn't find out. I did not say that for a service, so please don't repeat it, because my husband's not here right now. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And my husband starts chuckling, and then he gives up. Mm-hmm, yeah, son. Mm. But you know he's going to give him a high five as soon as he leaves the room, right? Because even in the filming of that video, I'm like trying to, like, my husband's taking a nap, and I'm trying to put stuff in a bag so that I can take it here to film it. And I'm putting it in a bag, and then, like, the stuff in the bag gets the handle hooked on it. So then I'm trying to pull it all out so that I don't get the handle hooked out. And I rip it out. Well, then I broke one of the things in there. And then, like, I throw it across, and then I hit. I mean, it was a mess just doing that. And I'm the same person who decided, like, I was going to paint our wall that overlooks the river a mocha brown. And so I taped everything off in the bedroom, and then I put all the plastic on the floor like you're supposed to, right? I mean, I YouTube this. It was going to go right. And my husband's like, I can help you with this, because he does it all the time, and his turns out great. No, I got it. I could do it myself. It's good. Thank you for the help. I got it. It'll all be just fine, except for when you get the brown paint on the ceiling, then you got to use the white paint, right? And then you get the white paint on the wall, and you got to use the brown paint, and then that's basically insanity going back and forth. And then I rip all of the stuff down, and then there's brown paint on the floor, on the tan carpet, on the tan carpet. How do you get that out? And then there's brown on the custom blinds, and I was told that won't come out. So this is my life. I make messes that I think I can do and get it, and people offer me help, and I say, no, I can do it myself, I've got it. And the reality is on the surface it looks like control, but the reality is I don't want to burden you. I don't want to make you need to help me. And if I dig a little bit further, I've been doing this for a really long time. Why? Because I've had to rely on myself since I was young. For a really long time, I've been doing it. And I've been digging a little longer because this journey has taken me a long time to get here. It's hard to trust. Can I get an amen? It's hard to trust. And sometimes and a lot of times, control actually, if you dig it down a little deeper, control actually is needing to trust someone else, to trust others, to trust yourself, and to trust God. And those controlling things that we just keep thinking, if I can do it myself, no, not now, I got it, is actually the need to trust ourselves, because we learn that trusting others actually, it hurts sometimes. And we got to put some walls up. We got to put some things in between us and other people. And if we just trust in ourselves, then we can do it. We can make it work. We can fix it. Can't trust other people. We can't trust the world. The world tells us we can't trust others. We can't trust the internet. It's going to auto ship something to your house and it's going to cost $40 every single month, right? Amen, right? You got an amen for that. But we dig a little bit deeper, and the reality is we can't. We learn that you can't trust. And there is this yearning in our souls, and that yearning in your soul is actually God telling you, I need you to trust me. But the world and other people and things that we have gotten hurt by, it's hard to trust him too. I grew up in church. I grew up a Catholic. And that's a whole different story, so we won't go there too far. But I knew that I had God, and I knew God was with me all the time, and I'm super, super thankful for that. But oftentimes, I was pulling God out when I needed him, like a get-out-of-free-jail card. But the rest of the time, it was not now, God. I got it. I can do this on my own. And there was so much in between him and I, it was pretty hard to trust because I could do it myself. And if we dig a little bit deeper, I even believe beyond trust, there's one more element that goes a little bit further than that. But we're going to get there because I believe it's a little bit further that we need to go, because it's those things in between us, those control things that we put in between us, that actually cause us a whole lot of things. That not now I can do this causes us to spin a lot of plates. And sometimes in our lives, maybe we're here today and we're just sailing along, and maybe life is just kind of a little mediocre and we're just kind of going along and it's kind of just low level. Got a little bit of anxiety, maybe a little bit of depression. Life is just kind of apathetic. And maybe you don't even have God in your life and you didn't need him and you never really have. He's not really there, so And maybe he is, but you don't really need him because you can do it all yourself. You have been doing it all yourself. But under the surface, you know, you feel it, you can tell. It's not really smooth sailing. Or maybe you're here today and it's actually a storm brewing and you can see it, you can feel it. There's cargo getting thrown off the ship. There's red flags all over the place, and you know that something needs to be done, and you just don't know what it is. And there's anxiety, and there's frustration, there's bitterness. People are maybe telling you that there's red flags, but you just don't know what to do about it, and maybe you just don't feel like doing anything about it. Or maybe you're somewhere in between, or maybe, just maybe, you feel today like there is the sun on your face, the wind in your hair if you got some, the salty, I wasn't actually looking at you, Nero. Huh. The salty air on your skin, and you can feel it. You can feel the joy and the peace and the contentment in your heart. And you're letting God lead you. And you're trusting in Him for the next new adventure that's out in the open sea. Where are you today? And can you relate to this? This is where you give me an amen. Can you relate to this? Amen. Are you in the not now? Not now. I've been saying not now. Or is there somewhere else, some other words that you need today? Because the passage we're going to be in today is in Acts 27. You can follow along in your Bibles or on your Bible app or up on the screen. But this is a story, and I believe it's a story in which God has laid on my heart today. I hope that He opens some eyes here this morning, because this is where one of the times where Paul is being taken to Rome to be brought by the Roman centurion Julius. And he is setting sail. They're setting sail, and they ended up in a harbor in the Mediterranean Sea. He is a prisoner, and this is a cruise, not a Disney cruise. This is not an Alaska cruise. This is a barbaric, excuse me, conditions. And we see here that they are delayed by bad weather, and the sailing season has ended. This is a cruise, a one-day sail that ends up taking several weeks. And we start in verse 9. And I believe here that we actually see quite a bit. And I believe that we're going to see two words, and my hope and my prayer is these two words can refresh your soul today. Would you read with me the word of God in verse 9 through 26? Much time had been lost, and sailing had already become dangerous by now, and it was after the Day of Atonement. So Paul warned them, "Men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo, and to our own lives also." But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and the owner of the ship. Since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. This was a harbor in Crete facing both southwest and northwest. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw their opportunity, so they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it and were driven along. As we passed to the lee of a small island called Cauda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. So the men hoisted it aboard, and then they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together, because they were afraid they would run aground on the sandboards of Syrtis. They lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourself this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost, only the ship will be destroyed. Last night an angel of the Lord, to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nonetheless, we must run aground on some island. Paul warned the crew, yet they followed others, didn't he? He warned them, men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo and to our own lives. And the centurion had to decide, do I listen to others or do I listen to Paul? And I believe in this situation here, Paul is doing the will of God, going along to be put before Caesar. And here, even as like a metaphor, he's acting for God. Guys, listen to me. And Julius has to decide, do I listen to myself? Do I listen to the pilot? Do I listen to the captain of the ship? And we do it all the time too. We don't go to God. We can do it ourselves. We even see it in the crew. It's only going to take a day, and it ends up taking 14. The wind begins to blow, and they see their opportunity. Look, it's going my way. They try to hold it together. They're trying to keep the boat together. Don't we do that? I'm going to keep this together. I can hold it all together. It looks like it's going down, but not me. Not now. I can do it. I can hold it together. This is my security. I'm going to strap it down. They get driven along so poorly, so badly, that they're giving up all hope of being saved. And right then, oftentimes in our own life, that's when we give up. Jesus, take the wheel, right? Not now, Lord. Oh, wait. But that's okay. Because this here is where I believe so often we've been listening to, but now, and I can do it all myself, and I can keep spinning all these plates. This here is where we hear two words that can refresh us today and every day for the rest of our lives, but now. In the English language, okay, so I'm going to have to play this really easily. One of my friends said to me, but is an eraser. B-U-T, one T. When we hear the conjunction, but, a lot of times we don't hear anything before it, right? If I give you a compliment of, man, your dress looks great, but those pants. Okay, you don't hear anything before that. Your boss says, that report was good, but you don't hear anything before it. But that's not what happens here. Paul says, you should have taken my advice, but now I urge you to keep up your courage. Because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Friends, what is your ship? What keeps you from trusting God fully? What is your security that you're clinging to? Because you know they were clinging to even the debris, right? What is your ship? Not one life will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Oftentimes, we know what's keeping us between us and God. Not now, Lord. I can do this all by myself. I've been doing it all along all by myself, is a lot of times what I hear when somebody says, when I ask him, do you know Christ? And they say, well, I've been doing it all along without God. What's eternity? And I tell them, no, you have not. You believe that you've been doing it all by yourself, but he's been there all along. And eternity is going to be hell without him. Do you trust him? And friends, the deeper question in this, the but now, take courage. The deeper question beyond trust is, do you love me? Is what our heart is really asking. People, others around us, and deeper, deeper still, because that hole in your heart is God's size. And that's, my friends, that's what we're asking. We're asking all the people around us. We're asking the world, do you love me? Do you love me? Because often, and I can attest to it to myself, That's what I've been asking. When I have a problem with asking for help, it comes down to trust. When it comes down to trust, it comes down to love. When I feel deeply secure in receiving love, I can trust others. When I receive the Father's love to me, because that's the only one that matters. The world wants to tell you, everything else does. Then we can fully, fully trust. I never really got that until about 17 years ago. I had a child. Then I clicked. And I surrendered my heart to God because I said, if you can love me even a smidgen of how much I love this little boy, I get it. I surrender. Because receiving love finally, finally made sense. And praise God for that. But as life started to go on and it made sense for a little bit, those ships started to build up in my life. A husband and children started to get in the way. But I'll give another praise God, because as they started to get in the way between Jesus and me, red flags started to go over, and I believe God started asking me, do you love me and do you trust me? Because fully trusting God, I can't have any ships in the way for me to really fully walk on water. I need to act on those. So let me ask you, do you know that he truly, truly loves you? Because it is a hard question to answer, because the world gives you so many reasons why he doesn't. They want to tell you a lie. They want to tell you your worth comes from a whole lot of other things. Men, I believe that the world wants to tell you all kinds of shaming things. Maybe you've had imprints on you that you've got to be perfect and you've got to make a ton of money and be a success and you're a failure. It's not true. It's a lie. You are respectable. You are loved. And God loved you so much, men and women, that he died. He sent Jesus to die on that cross for you and for me, so that all of the lies and the garbage and that condemnation died on that cross. And ladies, we tell ourselves, I believe, oftentimes different things, don't we? We've got to be perfect. We got to be busy. When did that happen? You got to have a list of things that you did all day long. Your self-worth comes from what you look like and what you did and how smart you are and how much better you are from the other person. Your self-worth does not come from any of those things. There's only one person. It's the Creator who gives you that self-worth. Anyone else giving it to you, it's a lie. Amen. That's right. It's a lie, and we believed into that lie. When you answer that question, do you love me? It comes from God. That's where that ache comes from. It comes from him. And when we truly receive that, when we trust God to know that he sent Jesus for you, he died for you, and he rose again in a miracle for you, then you can trust him. You can live secure in that trust, and having to control everything, and the not now goes away, and the but now washes over you. But now, take courage. No lives are lost. Your ship will be destroyed, but your life will be saved. Do you have a ship that you need destroyed so that you can live fully in what God has called you to do? And oftentimes you know what it is. You know what the ship is, and you know what you've been called to do, because he has called you with a calling. You have gifts inside of you. But you have to trust him for them. We don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers to why, but I know who the who is. And that's what faith is. So what's your boat? What do you need to surrender to God today? You can usually tell on what provides you insecurity or you're clinging to, or security. What gives you fear to think about releasing it and handing it over to him, it being gone in your life. Maybe it gives you bitterness. Maybe it's grief. You might think you want to get rid of those things, but sometimes it provides that security. Finances, addiction, a secret sin no one else knows about, shame. What do you need to hand over to God today to surrender to him? And where are you? Are you in the not now, God? I can do this myself. Or today, is it your day to let those words, but now, wash over you? Because if we let, but now, Lord, lead me, be our prayer together, in your every moment, in your every day, as you're walking through, can you imagine how everything changes? How you see the word, Lord, lead me to take your next step. How the words of your mouth end up a little bit different going through the grocery store, not running someone over. Lord, lead me, how you start using the gifts he's given you that are already inside of you. When we come together collectively as a body of Christ, it's amazing when you see that, because we get unified in a purpose and a passion, gifts together. You watch men inviting younger men to go fishing with them, and you watch connection groups happen and deep friendships formed that transform and change other people because you said, Lord, lead me, and you let a day, every day, wash over you in trust and that faith that you don't know what the next day is, but you're going to focus on what Jesus called you to do in faith and in trust, knowing that all the control in our lives, we don't really control as much as we think we do, but it stems to, do you love me? And the answer wholeheartedly from God is yes. Yes, and anything less than that is a lie. And he's asking you, do you trust me? Can you surrender what stands between you and him? And can we come together? So friends, I'm going to ask you today to take a bold step. I'm kind of a bold person, and I like asking people to take a bold step. So I'm going to ask you one of two things. If today is your day to stand up for Christ, that today, if you have not committed your life to Christ, and today is your day to do it. Or if you, today is your day to recommit your day to Christ, I'm going to ask you if you could stand up so we could pray for you. Or if today you know there is a boat you need to surrender, a ship that's in the way of you and Christ, of trusting him fully, that you can surrender to him because you know that there is some leading that you need in your life and you're willing to hand that over to him today. I'm going to ask if you would be willing to stand up so we can pray for one another and that we can join together as we lead in a prayer of, Lord, lead me. Would you stand with me? Awesome. If there's someone near you, would you be willing to put a hand on their shoulder so we can pray with them? Help a guy out. There you go. So, Father, we just thank you so much for this opportunity to come together. For you to lead us from not now to but now. Lord, lead us in the places that you are leading us on to the water. Father, thank you for allowing us to be so bold as that we can come to you as our Father, as our Savior, that you loved us so much that you sent your Son to die for us. We thank you for all the ways that you love us and that we can trust you like we can't always trust other things in our lives, that you are trustworthy, that you call us beloved, that you call us a masterpiece, and that there is nothing that we can ever do to earn that love because it's free and it's from you, our Creator. Lord, thank you for these bold steps of allowing us to surrender these places in our lives that we have called security, and that you are ultimately our security. Thank you for our steps of faith, Father, today, and that you, Lord, would lead us. And in your precious name we pray. Amen.